Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast alongside co-host Zach Morgan. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
This morning, we're recording from the city of Norwalk, and we have a very prestigious, esteemed guest, Senator Tony Mendoza. Senator Mendoza is representing the 56th District, and we're really excited to have him as a guest and talk a little bit about Senate Bill 648, which discusses the regulation of senior care referral agencies. And Tony Mendoza will be talking a little bit more about that and sharing about the history of it, where it currently stands. And I would say Senator Mendoza is one of our most prestigious guests, so we very much appreciate it. So Zach.
Senator Mendoza, first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us today. So just so that our listeners can get to know a little bit about you, outside of your time in politics and in the California Senate, what is something that people might not know about you? What may be a fun fact?
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Gavin, for having me here today.
Absolutely.
A fun fact. That's always a hard one, but I always have to say that most people don't know that maybe in high school I was homecoming king, and they're like, people get surprised when they hear that.
Excellent. Wow. Which high school?
Fremont High School in South L.A.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic.
Did you grow up in South L.A. Yes. All of your adult life? Or?
No, I grew up in South Central L.A. pretty much while growing up. When I was 18, I moved over here to Artesia and started going to Cal State Long Beach.
Yeah. Ah, so 49er.
Yes.
Ah, a lot of my dad's a 49er, and a lot of our friends and colleagues are 49ers, so very good.
Fantastic. I noticed that in your background, and you weren't always in politics, correct?
That's correct.
Do you mind elaborating a little bit on what your background was leading into that?
You know, I was an elementary school teacher. I taught fourth grade in East L.A. I did that for 10 years. At the same time that I was an elementary school teacher, I was actually serving on a local city council in the city of Artesia for the same 10 years. And I started very young. I was actually elected to the city council when I was 25.
I noticed that. You were maybe the youngest at that point,
yes,
or one of?
I was the youngest council member ever elected, first Latino on the city council. And a year later, I became the mayor. So that was also
wow.
A first.
So when you were meeting with those folks and you were so young, were you nervous? Were you confident? Tell me about that.
what advice did somebody to grow a mustache and let your hair grow out? So I followed that advice for the first couple of terms, and I tried to look as old as I could, but yes, you know, I went door to door. I met voters. I told them what I was about. I told them what I wanted to do for the city, and I really resonated with the voters, and they appreciated that, and I got elected.
So you had a mustache back then. Have you kept it your whole life?
Pretty much, but I kind of keep trimming down now, but yes.
You know, that's good advice for someone like Gavin, who is very lucky and, you know, sneezes and can grow a mustache and a beard. I, on the other hand, am facial hair challenged, so that advice would be a little bit difficult for me.
Yeah, well, in November, you actually will see us grow mustaches. One of our partners is Movember. Not sure if you heard of Movember.
Yes, I've heard of him.
So if you see us then, you'll see us with mustaches as well. My wife is actually a third grade teacher in Garvey School District just outside of Los Angeles. And she has, I think, some similar passions of you, is wanting change, wanting to lead. And she said, no, thanks. I don't want to do that. It's a lot of responsibility. So kudos to you for taking on that responsibility. Tell us a little bit about maybe some of the accomplishments you've had starting maybe in the city council times all the way till today.
Well, for me, it's one of the things that I'm always most proud of, and I've done this throughout my career. When I was in city council, I had this pen pal program, this student exchange program, where I would bring my students to city hall and they could learn about local government. When I was in the state assembly, I did the same thing. I started the young legislators program, talking to kids about politics in the state, and it was a whole year program, and then we take them to Sacramento. Now that I'm state senator, I have the young senators program. It's a leadership program, where the kids every month learn about a different state issue and an issue that affects their community. And at the end of the 10-month program, they get to go to Sacramento.
Wow, very cool. Is it? Do they have to pay for their own trip, or is it all?
It's all free. Wow. They just have to attend all the sessions, or as many as they can, and they have to commit to go into the trip. But when they go to the trip, they actually get to meet lobbyists. They meet other legislators. They get to actually be on the floor and have mock sessions about what we actually do.
That's fantastic. Well, I know that you've actually been responsible for authoring quite a few Senate bills that have been signed by the governor, correct? We are here today, actually, in Norwalk to attend a basically a question and answer town hall with healthcare professionals regarding an upcoming bill, Senate Bill 648. And it is proposed to regulate senior referral agencies. Before we jump into kind of the details of it, for those people who might be listening that may not know, what is a senior referral agency?
There's two different types. There's like the brick mortar referral agency that actually has a building and an office. And then there's an online referral agency that actually just exists online. And basically what they do, they help families find a location or a home that could take care of their parents who might be elderly or might be, that need extra help that they cannot provide.
Sure.
And there's many agencies that exist, but with it, we just don't know how many actually because they're not regulated.
Sure. So kind of on that thread, do you mind giving us a little bit of the history of 648 and what inspired you to author the bill?
Sure. This bill actually was introduced last year on February of 2015, and we've been working this past year and a half with different stakeholders, and there was some opposition, and then it would come off, and then other opposition would come on board, and it took a while to really work through the bill and pretty much work it out. We got this bill idea from the Consumer Federation of California, and for me what stood out was those stories that actually people were sharing about seniors being grossly taken advantage of by unscrupulous referral agencies. We know that if most families, when their parent or family member becomes disabled or unable for them to be taken care of, you know, that's when they're most vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And these agencies have been taking advantage of these families at those moments, and they put these family members in the wrong place because they have some financial interest. That location gives them extra money more so than the one that they actually should be in, right? So
sure.
that for me, I when I heard stories like that, I thought, you know, we need to fix this.
Sure. And is the California bill based on, you know, do you know, or do any other states have bills similar to this, or there different regulations that mirror this?
Yeah, the only state I've heard of was Washington, okay. But they don't have a licensing program. It's just, you know, like a registration or something.
Okay.
So would this be a more formal process than just registering?
Yes, this is actually a licensing. You have to go to the Department of Developmental Services and actually get a license to operate in California, which means we will know who you are and what you're doing.
Sure.
This would be really significant.
We know that process very well. Actually, in January of this year, the home care industry was required to be licensed for the first time by the state as well.
Sure.
So we know how that process goes. You did mention before that you know, it's hard to know exactly how many referral agencies there are. Now, obviously, there are the unscrupulous, and I would imagine that there are the stand-up and the ones that people really can trust. Do you have even a ballpark idea of how many there might be?
I hear that might be up to 1,000. Just in the Sacramento area alone was 100. In the Sacramento area alone is 100.
Wow. Sorry to interrupt, but I was going to ask, will this bill apply to in the same capacity to both the brick and mortar and the online?
Yes. Yes, they will both have to become licensed.
Okay.
And at the same time, we will know who actually works for them and what they do.
Yeah. Okay. And when you say who works for them, will those individuals have to go through any formal training or any fingerprinting or anything like that?
There is some training that they do in-house from what I hear.
Okay.
And they will be required to do some basic training with them to make sure that they do not break the law in regards to 648. So
sure.
648 will mandate them to talk some basic steps into making sure that they are doing the right things with our seniors.
Sure.
Okay.
And what stage is the bill currently in? Are there any updates or kind of what are the next steps?
We're almost at the final stage here. We are in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. We're hoping to get the bill out. It might cost some money, but I think the cost will be offset with the registration, with the actual licensing fees that
sure.
we're going to be charging, right?
Okay.
So they'll offset it. So we're trying to take some feedback from the governor's office. We're trying to make sure that we removed all the opposition. Everybody's pretty much on board. So it's just a matter of hopefully those two stars align. And when it goes, it'll come back to the Senate for final approval because we made some changes in the Assembly. And then we send it out to the governor.
Sure.
And then it'll be in the governor's desk and see what he does.
Is there a target date for implementation? I know that obviously things can shift around, but is there kind of a date that you're looking at?
I believe most bills take effect January 1st.
Excellent.
So would you be looking at January 1st, 2017 as a target?
Yes, that would be the date.
Okay, very good. And would that be a target for the agencies to be regulated? And then will there be a delayed enforcement date? Or would the enforcement date be the same as the implementation date?
That's a good question. I believe that once the governor signs it, the agencies will begin to create the licensing procedures.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll be done by the end of the year, but it's a tight window, so right. This might be delayed a little bit. Yes.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like there might be a delay. I know with the Home Care Services Bureau, which is a newly created entity of the Department of Social Services, I think they have 27 full-time employees, last I heard, just to regulate the in-home care industry. I know the referral agency as well is pretty large. Do you see, in your best guesstimate, do you see the Department of Social Services having to create a new subdivision, or do you think it'll just kind of fall into their current roles?
That's a good question. I believe that they have the capacity right now to do this work. Now, they might have to hire one or two people but they already are doing some regulation with some of the facilities,
okay,
but not the actual referral agency. So it might be a little bit of an overlap.
Sure. Okay, very good. Now let's talk about briefly, you mentioned there's been some opposition and you've been able to work through quite a bit of that, and you're hoping to kind of work through 100% of it before it goes live. Would you mind sharing with us just briefly maybe some of what were the reasons for opposition as the bill works through its process?
Some of the opposition was actually not bad. We were just able to take their ideas. For example, there was a group that came in opposition at the last couple of meetings. I'm like, you've been pretty much quieter. I thought you were okay. We want to see more. I'm like, you want to see more? And they wanted background checks. And I'm like, well, I don't mind background checks. But then the chair of one committee said, we don't want background checks. So then we couldn't help them there.
Okay.
But one of the things we did take was having them be mandatory reporters, right?
Yeah.
So that's important because if you go into a situation, you know that the potential elderly person being abused, that you need to be a mandated reporter because you want to help that person.
Very good. Now, part of the bill and one of your concerns when you were starting to create the bill was that there's a financial incentive for referral agencies to place the prospective resident into various facilities. I know some of our listeners are senior referral agencies, and some of the questions we've heard out there is, or some of the concerns they've had is, we're marketing for these facilities, and that's how we get paid. So I want to kind of see your opinion on that, and if you might be aware of any caps or restrictions on financial incentives in the bill.
Well, we mostly have disclosures.
Okay.
As long as families know that, you know what, just to let you know, we get paid by this facility and we're referring you there, but it doesn't mean that you have to accept it.
Okay.
You know, so upfront disclosure really help the families feel comfortable that these people are not being taken advantage of.
That makes sense. And then on the financial disclosure, do they have to be, to your knowledge, be specific as to how much they're receiving or?
No, not an exact amount. It's just that they're being paid by them is sufficient.
Okay. Very good. And then what type of communities or facilities fall under this bill?
My understanding is this bill covers referral agencies,
okay,
and their employees, both online and brick and mortar.
Okay,
so that would be pretty much anybody that does these types of referrals.
Okay,
I know that we did some other not only disclosures but also some regulations to make sure we cover other individuals that are in this field or helping families find referral agencies.
Sure. Okay.
Well.
And go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I was just going to say on you mentioned the families. Obviously, that's a big driver of this. Was there what kind of brought this to your attention? What what will be the impact? Obviously, there will be an industry-wide impact. We understand that quite a lot, especially having just gone through some of the home care things. But on the family side, what really drove you to bring this bill and push it in that way?
Well, seniors are one of the most vulnerable populations. They usually, some of them don't even have anybody to take care of them, right? So they're on their own. And once they hit these locations, they're pretty much left there. And I do think that I felt that there's something that needs to be done to make sure that they land in the right place, because that might be the last spot they go to.
Yeah.
So for me, I think having these type of disclosures and regulations will really ensure that this aging population, which there is a lot, will be in a good place.
Okay. And then for these referral agencies that are placing these folks, is there a do you know the cost of licensing? Has that been pitched or thrown out there yet?
Not yet. That still needs to be finalized. I've heard numbers from, you know, it could be 800, it could be 1200. I mean, it's just varies, because remember, we don't actually know how many agencies are there.
Right? Yeah.
They exist, but they don't go and sign up somewhere. I'm here. They just operate. So we don't know.
Okay. And I think you said earlier you're hoping if Department of Social Services had to hire someone or a couple people for this regulation, that it would be a self-sustaining, no additional taxes, no additional funds needed.
No, the licensing fees would cover pretty much all the additional costs.
Yeah, very good. It works the same with the Home Care Services Bureau.
Also, with home care, people are able to go onto the state's website and access a database of licensed home care agencies. Will there be something similar for the referral agencies?
Yes, and they'll be licensed referral agencies, right? So there'll be state license, which we know there'll be at least some sort of security there for the families and the seniors.
Okay.
But more importantly, I think the disclosures that are going to be in place are going to be very helpful. I mean, we're talking about when referral agencies sign a contract or over the phone, right, if they're online, how do you know if that person actually did commit to them, right? We don't know. And their personal information is out there. So a lot of these disclosures that provide protection for our seniors, where they have to have some sort of confirmation saying, yes, you're allowed to use my information and share it with facilities to make sure they come, because sometimes they just grab that information and just sell it to like 10, 20 people. And the person, the family's like, I don't know why I'm getting all these calls, or I don't know why I'm being bothered by it. They don't even know, because they accidentally give them permission without even knowing.
Sure. Got it. So usually when I think of senior referral agencies and the folks that we work with in our career, we think mostly of communities where they're being placed. But sometimes senior referral agencies also refer families for other types of services as well. And I'm curious, is the bill just for placement for a senior in a community, or let's say a referral network referred to an elder law attorney, or referred to a someone to help change their home, modify their home, or in-home care? Will that be part of the regulation as well?
No, that sounds like another bill to me.
Oh, oops. No. I shouldn't have said that.
No, this only covers our referral agencies.
For moving into communities, is that correct?
Yes, referral agencies, yes.
Okay.
Both online and brick and mortar, which is important to include both.
Okay. Very good. So what do you think the odds of this bill going through are? You said it's looking good. Do you pretty much see it's going to happen, or is there still some potential opposition that could prevent that?
I think it's, the opposition, I believe, is pretty much over with as far as people that are in this field.
Okay.
The only opposition that might be left might be, I don't know if it's the governor's office per se, but it might be some like Department of Finance.
Okay.
They're the ones that control all the money, right? So they like to oppose anything that has money or cost to it, right? They want to keep the money in. I get it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's to tell them, look, it's going to cost money, but the licensing fees will offset it.
Yeah.
It might not happen the first year because it takes a while to start, but you'll recoup by year two or three, right?
Sure.
Or maybe, you know, even sooner. Okay. But I have to make sure that they understand that, or they're willing to agree with me, but they might be the ones that might be opposing, right?
Yeah.
So those are the kind of hurdles that we still have to look into.
Okay. Very good. Well, we've talked a lot about SB 648. It's your goal is to have it live in January of 2017.
Right. And just kind of on that note, for people that are interested or maybe are impacted by this, either they have loved ones that might, you know, they might be looking into using one of these senior referral agencies and things like that, where can they keep up with the progress of this? Is it, is it through something like your website or through the state's website, or how can they keep up on the progress of this?
Good question. They could keep up with either my website, could we make announcements there, or on my social media. I have, I'll constantly post things that are happening with especially high profile bills like this, or they could directly call my office and we'll be more than happy to tell them what the bill is at and how it's, what the status is.
Great. What is the website, just in case people are curious?
It's senate.ca.gov.
Excellent.
And then everybody has different senators, but they could look up for Senator number Tony Mendoza.
Okay. Very good. And what's the phone number to your local office here?
Mm-hmm. It's 562. It's 860-3202.
And one more time, please, Senator Mendoza.
562-860-3202.
Very good. And if some of our listeners would want to perhaps set an appointment with you or anything like that, what is the process to do that?
They could call that same number, or they could call my scheduler to try to set up a meeting either in Sacramento or here in the district.
Okay.
You know, we're in Sacramento like 9 months out of the year. So,
oh, wow.
You know, you might be able to catch me there if you're there, or in the fall I'll be mostly in the district.
Okay. Or do you do town halls like we are about to attend this morning? Do you do those on a somewhat regular basis or for certain issues?
Yes, we do. We regularly do a lot of public events. We have set up booths in different events, public events. I represent like 19 cities.
Okay.
So there's always events in those cities. We set up booths there for people to come and talk to me.
Very good. And can you tell the audience in a nutshell, what, without maybe necessarily naming all 19 cities, what is your district?
Yeah, my geographic area, I represent almost 1 million people.
Okay.
And the area that I represent is Southeast LA County and a little bit of Orange County. Some of the cities that I represent start north, like Hacienda Heights,
yes,
Montebello,
sir.
Commerce, Pico Rivera, Whittier, both unincorporated in the city, Downey, Norwalk. I have Artesia, Cerritos, Lakewood, Hawaiian Gardens, and Buena Park in Orange County.
Okay, very good. And tell us, are you? Do you speak any languages besides English?
Oh, I speak Spanish.
Okay, very good. And I live in the area as well, so I know having that ability to connect with folks who also speak Spanish is key. So,
how does it feel to be able to represent your hometown, your childhood hometown?
Well, it's kind of nice to represent this area here. I didn't grow up in this area, but when I moved in here and I started representing the people, kept coming up to me and said, "Look, I need, we have problems with the city council," and they didn't speak English, right? So they wanted me. They knew I went to college, and they wanted somebody that could go speak on their behalf. And I would go to city council meetings and talk about the needs, and council was just neglecting our needs, and that's what prompted me to run. So I kind of fell in love with the community, kind of fell with in love with the district, and I've lived here ever since. And I just, it's a proud moment for me to represent the folks that actually need a voice and want somebody to represent them.
Fantastic. Awesome, Senator Mendoza. Well, we look forward to learning more at the town hall. And we're very grateful. Zach, any final thoughts for Senator Mendoza?
I would just encourage people again. It was senate.ca.gov, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, to stay up to date on these things. Obviously, this is in kind of the important final stages, and I think there will be important and meaningful updates to come. So,
very good. Senator Mendoza, any final words for our audience of healthcare professionals?
Well, I just encourage them to make sure they stay involved, listen to podcasts like these, and also, I encourage them to make sure they get involved politically. Go out there and vote. Get involved in a campaign. Get in something, whatever your passion is, stay involved.
Very good. Well, again, Senator Tony Mendoza, we're very grateful that you joined us today. Listeners out there, if you do like what you're listening to, please note, again, Pop Health Podcast is a not-for-profit service. We do not take any revenue. We do not build any revenue. We do not take any advertisers. So if you do like what you're listening to, please go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, like us on Facebook, connect on LinkedIn. We're very grateful for you listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.
And go USA, the Olympics kick off today. So hopefully by the time this podcast airs, we've got a medal count going up.
We should. All right.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Zach.
Take care.